Chapter 15. The men climbed up the sides of the truck to see why Abigail had called them. Ren and Sasha on the passenger side, Chuko Lata and Jess on hers. Jess stood in the open door with one hand braced against the top.
"What is it, babe?"
Stunned, all she could do was point at the herd of whatever it was, speeding down the road toward them. The group was stirring up a huge cloud of dust behind them. Even in the darkness, they were impossible to miss, mostly because their number was just that impressive. Some she knew to be Tsinooks, others were definitely coyotes, and for the last group, she assumed bounty hunters. Ren's jaw went slack. Jess's tensed. Sasha outdid them all. He laughed. "Now there's something you don't see every day. Guy, I hope there's no human roaming around with a video recorder. Be a bitch to explain that. Easier just to kill them." Ren ignored him.
"Did they open the gate already?"
That would explain it. But Chuko Lata shook his head. "They're trying to scare us." "Working. 'Cause the wolf here is definitely feeling an oh shit moment." He glanced over to Abigail. "You wouldn't want to change my diaper, would you?" Jess rolled his eyes at the wolf. He started to take the wheel from Abigail, then paused.
"You know, this is one of those moments when you think about the fact that you didn't quite complete the plan."
She frowned. "How so?" He glanced around their small group.
"Anyone know how to drive a truck?"
Ugh. She could kick herself for not thinking of that. Since they'd trained her to go after dark hunters, Jonah had taught her the skill of hot wiring, just in case she needed a quick getaway. She even knew how to start electronic and digital ignitions. Why hadn't she ever taken the time to learn a standard transmission? Sasha and Ren exchanged a bemused stare.
"I don't drive," they said simultaneously.
Her heart sank. Of course they didn't. Ren flew as a bird, and Sasha did that flashing thing. When would they have ever needed a driver's license? "Can't you flash us out?" she asked Sasha. He laughed hysterically. "My powers were strangled by a bitch goddess as punishment for my gross stupidity. I'm lucky I can still flash myself, never mind other people. All I have is raw power and fighting prowess."
Ren frowned. "I didn't think you could lose psychic powers."
"You can't, Dark Hunter boy, but mine weren't a gift. I was born with them. Total different standard. Lucky me." Jess arched a brow at her.
"Can you drive it?"
"No, I can't drive a stick at all. It's why I took Andy's car, not one of yours."
"Oh, people, for goodness sake, move over."
Chuko Lata pushed past Jess to take the driver's seat. Curious about that, she slid over to make room for the ancient. Jess hesitated.
"Do you know what you're doing?"
Chuko Lata gave him a withering glance. "Not at all. But I figured someone needed to learn, and no one else was volunteering. Step in and get situated. Time is of the essence." Abigail's heart pounded. I hope he's joking. If not, it would be a very short trip. Ren changed into his crow form before he took flight. Jess and Sasha climbed in, then moved to the compartment behind the seat. A pall hung over all of them while Chuko Lata adjusted the seat and mirrors. She couldn't speak as she watched their enemies rapidly close the distance between them. This was by far the scariest thing she'd seen. Unlike the wasps and scorpions, this horde could think and adapt. They had opposable thumbs. Whole different ballgame. Chuko Lata shifted into gear, or at least he tried. The truck made a fierce grinding sound that caused Jess to screw his face up.
"You sure you don't want me to try?"
Jess offered. Chuko Lata waved him away. "I'm a little rusty. Just give me a second to get used to it again."
"How long has it been?"
Chuko Lata eased off the clutch, and they lurched forward at the most impressive speed of 2 whole miles an hour. Probably sometime around 1900 and... They all waited with bated breath while he ground his way through more gears. The truck was really moving along now. They reached a whopping 15 miles an hour. At this rate, they might be able to overtake a loaded school bus by tomorrow, or at the very least, the day after that. Must have been the summer of... 53, yes, that was it, 1953. the year they came out with color tellies. It was a good year. Same year Bill Gates was born. The look on Jess's and Sasha's faces would have made her laugh if she wasn't every bit as horrified. Oh my God, who put him behind the wheel? Sasha visibly cringed as he saw how close their pursuers were. Should I get out and push? Jess cursed under his breath. I'd get out and run at this point. I think you'd go faster. Chukolata took their comments in stride. Now, now, gentlemen, all is well. See, I'm getting better. He finally made a gear without the truck spazzing or the gears grinding. Abigail swallowed. They are almost at our tailgate. Excuse me, darling. Jess slid over her lap to roll down the window. She started to ask him what he was doing, but before she could, he held his hand out towards Sasha.
Gun.
Sasha handed it over like a surgical assistant. Jess leaned against the door with one leg braced over her lap. He pressed his thigh lightly against her stomach as he started shooting at the ones chasing them. The rapid fire rang in her ears as she felt his muscles contracting with each movement. He leaned out farther. Chukolata snatched the wheel to avoid a cone in the road. The motion tipped Jess so fast that he fell forward through the window. Terrified he was about to fall to the street, Abigail wrapped herself around him to hold him in place. Jess couldn't breathe for a second. He bruised the shit out of his ribs when he'd slipped and slammed his side into the door. And Abigail had him pinned in a bear hug so tight he was amazed he wasn't turning blue. But he didn't mind the pain. She felt so good, he was willing to suffer. Unfortunately, he couldn't shoot this way.
Sweetie,
she looked up at him.
I need my arm back.
Her face turned bright red. Sorry. She quickly released it, but she kept her arms around his waist, anchoring him to her. His heart pounded at the sight she made holding on to him. He wanted to kiss her so badly he could taste her lips. First, he had to protect her. Returning to his post, he started picking off their pursuers while Chukolata floored it. They were finally going fast. Jess kept firing as the wind rushed around him. Atsinu screamed in frustration.
Yeah, that's right. Cry, baby, cry. Go home to your daddy and tell him you failed. Let him kick your ass.
Jess? He felt Abigail tugging hard at his shirt. Ducking back into the cab, he arched a brow.
Yeah?
Chukolata cleared his throat, then asked in the calmest of tones, You wouldn't happen to know how to stop one of these devices, would you?
Oh, please, no. Surely he'd misheard that.
Come again. Chukolata pressed the brake pedal all the way to the floor and double-stomped it. Nothing happened. Jess's stomach sank to his feet. His arms spread wide over the giant steering wheel. Chukolata held on with a grip so tight his knuckles blanched. I'm sorry to say, there seems to be a little bit of a problem. As you can see, it doesn't respond when I apply the brake. And they were approaching an almost 90-degree turn they'd have to make onto the Valley of Fire Highway. Jess considered their options.
Keep going straight. Don't try to make the off-ramp.
And again, I say we have a bit of a problem. He was afraid to even ask.
Yeah?
Abigail swallowed hard before she pointed at the road. There are two jackknife trucks blocking it.
Shit.
And they were going way too fast. Sasha pointed at the dash. Look at the air brake system pressure gauge. It's too low. Probably something wrong with the line. Abigail licked her lips. How do we fix it? I have an idea. Sasha vanished.
Would have been nice for you to share, Wolf.
Would have been even nicer to take us with him, Abigail said in a sing-song voice. Jess agreed. Oh, dear. Since his back was to the windshield, Jess really didn't want to look. He'd much rather stare at Abigail than see what had distressed Chukolata. But the compulsion was too great. He turned.
Ay, caramba. They were way too close to the wrecked trucks.
One lay on its side like it had fainted, while the other was sideways on the highway. No way to avoid them. Sasha returned. Without a single word, he switched the air supply button from normal to emergency. Give it a second to get the pressure up.
We don't have a second, Chukolata said between clenched teeth.
Wait. Wait.
Wolf.
Now! Chukolata hit the brakes and everyone held their breath. Nothing happened. Jess felt his heart stop as he realized they were going to crash. He wasn't worried about himself. He would survive. Abigail might not. All of a sudden, the truck slowed. He couldn't believe it. Abigail leaned her head back on the seat and smiled in relief. Until Chukolata cursed, something he never did.
Hold on, everyone.
Jess was tossed forward as they left the interstate and flew down the exit ramp at a speed that would probably have gotten them arrested had a cop seen it. Luckily, there were no concrete barriers or anything significant around, only small road markers that warned of the drop-off shoulder that they plowed over.
Please don't tip. Please don't tip.
And don't plow into the casino smoke shop truck stop. The owner definitely wouldn't appreciate it. That was the biggest concern right now. Killing someone other than them. The truck shimmied and shook as if it wanted to flip, but through some miracle it didn't, and in a few seconds they were slowed to a safe speed while Chukolata headed toward the valley. Sasha fell back.
All right, everyone, fess up. Who shat their pants? Come on, admit it.
He raised his hands.
I know I did, and I'm wolf enough to own it.
Jess shook his head.
Are you all right?
He asked Abigail. She was still a little too pale for his tastes.
I think I'm going to own Sasha's question. Definitely put me on the list.
He laughed.
So, Wolf, what did you do?
You mean before or after I sold my jeans? Which I want kudos for coming back in the cab when I could have gone home, by the way.
Sasha sobered.
The lines were twisted, so I fixed them.
Do not try that at home. I don't ever want to hang like that under a speeding vehicle again. I swear I lost 8 of my 9 lives.
What is it with you and the cat analogies?
Long, really not boring story. Anyway, I realized what it was when I looked at the gauges.
Impressive, but
how can you read them?
Video games, Sasha said proudly. Never let it be said they're a waste of time.
Chukolata checked the side view mirror. And I hate to be the one to cut in on the reverie and congratulatory sentiments, but we still have our friends following behind us.
Jess let out a long breath. What I wouldn't give for a case of C4.
And then the worst thing happened.
The pain hit.
Abigail gasped as Jess pressed his hand to his forehead and doubled over in the seat.
Jess?
It's okay,
he said between clenched teeth.
I'll be all right.
In spite of those words, fear gripped her. You don't look all right. His nose started pouring blood.
Honey?
Sasha manifested a small hand towel and threw it over him. Jess held it to his nose and tilted his head back. Terrified, Abigail ran her hand through his hair.
Is there anything I can do?
He shook his head.
All right, my boy, now that we're on the back road.
Chukolata began chanting something under his breath. Light at first. And then in crescendo. Louder and louder it went, like a frenetic dance. A cappella and harmonious, and she couldn't understand a word of it, only the beauty of the sound. And as he spoke, the dirt outside began to swirl and spin, rising higher like small tornadoes. Abigail was floored by what she saw. In a matter of seconds, they had a dust cloud surrounding them. The only problem was, their sight was limited by it.
Why didn't you do this before, Sasha asked, when it could have really helped us?
Jess shifted the towel that was fast becoming drenched in blood.
He needed to be close to the valley to draw the sand.
And it wasn't just any sand. It rose up like an angry fist and rushed back toward their enemies like a landlocked tsunami. She could hear their screams as the sand blasted and pelted them. Yeah, that had to sting. In a matter of minutes, the sand had settled, and there was no one on the road but them. Abigail took the moment to relax, hoping that this time it would last a little bit longer. She needed a small break. They all did. This had been an incredible, non-stop journey. Jess watched the relief play across Abigail's delicate features. The light of the cab highlighted her eyes and cast shadows over her face. Her soft hands stroked his hair, while he tried to breathe through the pain pounding in his head. He had no idea why this power took its toll on him. For that, he'd like to beat Artemis. But if it meant being held so tenderly by Abigail, he was willing to suffer. No one spoke as they traveled down the road. They were all too relieved to be alive and not have to fight for it. The silence seduced them with her well-needed tranquility. Only the sound of the engine and the tires rolling on asphalt reached them. But all too soon, they reached the valley. Chukolata slowed down even more.
"What are you looking for?" Jess asked.
"The mound that marks our trail." Abigail looked around at the dips and crevices of land and rock that now lined both sides of the highway. She'd never been to the valley before. It was spooky at night. Skeletal bushes and shrubs rose out of the ground, a tower like evil spirits. A part of her even felt like they were watching her.
"Do you feel it?"
She glanced over at Chukolata.
"Feel what?"
"The Manitou. The energy of the earth that flows through everyone and everything. It's a living creature that can feel our pain and our joy. Everything we are feeds into it, and it leaves a lasting impression on it after we're gone."
Sasha sat up. "So it's like a ghost?"
Smiling, he shook his head. "It's hard to explain. You must feel it." Abigail tried, but the only thing she felt was the weight of Jess's head in her lap and the heaviness of her conscience, which still flogged her over all of this. Chukolata's words didn't help her any, either. If anything, they made her feel worse. Her lasting impression was four plagues and untold horrors played out on innocent people. Part of her wished she were twisted enough not to care, but sadly, she did. Chukolata pulled over to the side of the road and parked the truck. Jess sat up slowly.
"Are you any better?"
He pulled the towel down and she cringed. He was still bleeding pretty badly.
"Sasha, I need some tissue to pack my nose with."
"Is that hygienically sound?"
"Sasha."
"Fine, but if you get toxic shock in your nose, buddy, remember, I warned you." He held his hand palm up and a box of Kleenex appeared. Jess pulled a couple out and wedged them into his nostrils. He gave Abigail a sheepish look from under his eyelashes.
"Sexy, right?"
"Oh yeah, baby. You're so hot right now, if I was chicken, I'd lay hard-boiled eggs."
Sasha fell back, laughing. Jess chucked the box of tissues at him.
"At least I don't lick my own crotch."
"Hey," Sasha snapped. "That's just rude. And for the record, I don't. We do have full cognitive functioning in our animal forms, and that's all I'm going to say on the matter."
He sat up again and smiled at Jess.
"You really need to check yourself out in the mirror."
"I'm really not going to."
There were some things a man didn't need to know about himself. How much of a goober he appeared to a woman he had the hots for was one of them. His imagination was bad enough. God forbid the reality be worse than the image he had in his head. He wouldn't be able to come back from that blow. Sasha flashed out of the cab while the rest of them climbed down. Jess made sure to take his gun. They met up at the back of the trailer while Ren swooped down from the sky and returned to his human form. Abigail was impressed at how he did that. One second, he was a bird, and then after a small flash of light that could easily be missed if you weren't paying attention, he was human again.
"Nice driving. I honestly thought you guys were dead."
Sasha snorted. "So did we. Be glad you weren't there for the screaming." Abigail rubbed her hands down her arms, trying to banish a sudden chill.
"So, what do we do now?"
Chukolata's expression was as blank as his eyes.
"We find the sacred rock,
and we sacrifice you."